Great. Well, why don't we call the meeting to order then, and then we can proceed. Maybe I'll just start with a little bit of an introduction of myself. Normally, you would not see me here as the chair, but Michael Mendel's gone on to bigger and better things within GTAA, so it's been handed over to me. But thank you, Michael, for all your work on the committee and the efforts that you put in over the last several years. And I think a number of folks will also remember Lori McKee. So Lori she's moved on to another role in another company. And so we've had a little bit of change within the government relations group, but I am certainly looking forward to getting to know you for those that I don't know, and working with you closely through the consultative committee as we go into 2024. Ingrid, I think you've got the roll call. So do we need to go
yes.
through? Or
I think I'll officially say everybody's who's here, and it will be just in the order that it's on my screen. So we have Anna Barrera from you're from UPS for the Toronto Board of Trade.
Yes.
Brett. Yeah. Okay. Great. Brett McDermott from Mississauga Board of Trade. Lauren Crawford from Peel Region, John Davidson from Halton Region, and Marlene Yakubuski, she's the City of Mississauga resident representative. We've got Savik Ramke from Seneca College. And we have Trevor McPherson from Mississauga Board of Trade. He's just joined us. Stephen Tufts from the Brampton, Mississauga and District Labor Council. And we have Jonathan Weedle from York Region. Those are our voting members. Our resource members are Amanda Chum from Transport Canada and Bram Westfall from the Ministry of Transportation. And then we have our guest speaker, Michael Mendel, and our coordinator in the public affairs, Perez Khoury. I don't think I've missed anybody. Speak up if I have, please. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Ingrid. I guess we will approve the agenda for today, which you would have all received. Just making note of a change that we're going to shift the order of presentations. Michael will be doing his presentation first, and then I'll provide an update on winter readiness. Michael's going to give us a bit of a snapshot of some of our future plans for Toronto Pearson. So can we get a motion to accept the agenda?
Sure, Jonathan.
Yeah. Perfect. And a seconder.
John D.
Thank you. Thanks. Now, we do also need to review and approve the minutes from June 6, 2023. We did have a meeting on September 12th, but that meeting was a tour that we did of the Moore Creek facility. So there were no minutes coming out of that. And for those that were able to join for that tour, I hope you enjoyed that. And it was quite interesting. It was also my first time going into the facility as well, the stormwater facilities. But approval for the June 6, 2023 minutes. Can I get someone to put forward that motion? John, or was that John or Brett?
I think that was Stephen Tufts.
Oh, Stephen.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
And a seconder. Okay, perfect. Was there any matters arising from the previous minutes or any comments from folks? Hearing none, we'll move on to our regular items. The first one is the consultative committee update, which Perez will provide for us.
Before Perez starts, Marlene and Stephen, can you please turn off your microphones? If I do it from here, you won't be talking at all.
Okay.
Thank you. Just so there's no feedback. Thank you.
for us.
Thanks, Ingrid. Thanks, Atul. Hello, everyone, and I hope you had the chance to take a look at the newsletter that went out earlier this morning. And just a couple articles I'd like to share with you here. The first article is in this edition of the newsletter is the talking about the announcement made on November 15th by our president and CEO, Deborah Flint, and chairman of the board, Doug Ellingham, unveiling an exciting new future vision for Toronto Pearson, which embarks us, our airport, on an ambitious program of renewal. You'll hear more details shared on this in the upcoming presentation by Michael. Another article mentions Pearson's newest airline routes. Just to name a couple here, there's now routes to Phoenix, Arizona, to Montego Bay, Jamaica, and Tampa, Florida. These are just some of the ones that are part of our ongoing efforts to enhance the air travel experience for millions of passengers who travel through Toronto Pearson each year. There's also an article that mentions Toronto Pearson's job fair that was held on October 12th. It was a very successful event where we actually hosted nearly 800 job seekers and had over 26 employers from across the airport. And it was a very great opportunity for job seekers to meet with employers, to learn about some of the available positions and drop off their resumes for employers that they were interested in working with. And finally, I'd encourage you to read the article about the GTA announcing the 2023 call for proposals for the Propeller Projects Uplift Fund. And we are very excited to be investing towards organizations committed to breaking down barriers to employment in our communities. These are the updates I'm sharing, but as always, I do encourage you to read the whole newsletter. Thank you, and Atul, back over to you.
That's great, Fred. Any questions before we move on? No, hearing none. Michael, we'll turn the floor over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Atul, and thanks to, I think I know most of the folks on the committee, so thanks for welcoming me back to the consultative committee. I'm going to share my screen, and it's a very short presentation, but I think it should be helpful for folks around the table. Can everyone, virtual table, I should say, can everyone see that?
Yep.
Okay. So I'd start by saying, and everyone can hear me okay, I'd start by saying, you know, it's one of the most exciting, I've been at the GTA 8 years roughly, and I'd say it's one of the most exciting times I've witnessed at the airport. There's a lot of planning going on. We've just come through a strategic planning process and landed on some strategic pillars, which I think will really, really nicely frame where we're going as an airport. So very focused on customer experience, operational excellence, innovation, and employee and cultural, employee and culture experience. So I won't surprise folks around the table to say, you know, there's a lot of checks and balances in the airport environment. So I can only share so much about what our plans are at the moment as, you know, we work through approvals. But I think it's important to, I'm committing to coming back to the committee as our plans evolve and as I can share more. But I'll share what I can with you today about our future plans. So I think it's important to start with a bit of context. You know, 2020, when you look at 2023, we're starting to get back to that, on our way back to that 50 million passenger airport that Pearson was in 2019. You can see some of the year over year stats there for the first three quarters of 2023. We're up 32% year over year versus the first three quarters of 2022. So some pretty big passenger numbers and aircraft movements. While they're not exactly the same, they're also up year over year. And I would say if you focus on the right hand side there, we're doing this while driving efficiencies, right, and continuous improvement at the airport. And I know Atul and others have talked previously, there's been previous presentations about some of the performance and tech enhancements that we're introducing at the airport, whether that's maybe some of you have traveled recently, maybe that's, you know, you can book your time through security. We're looking at, you know, real-time wayfinding and a dashboard so you can see, you know, some of the wait times and what you might expect before you get to the airport. And we're obviously working, I always say the airport's like, on a good day, is like choreography. So we're working with our, you know, 400 plus airport employers and partners and airlines to set standards and hold people accountable wherever possible and hold ourselves accountable to a world-class standard, because I think that's what passengers expect of us as an airport. So I think I won't dwell too long on this slide, but some of the financials that we're seeing year over year, as you can expect, you know, as passengers come back, our revenues have returned. So we are turning a profit for through the first three quarters of 2023, and we're paying down debt. That's essentially what the left-hand side of the slide is saying. But on a more macro level, you know, if you look at the narrative over the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, it's still that we took on a considerable amount of debt, right? $800 million in debt to keep the airport operational at a time when traffic had dropped 80%. We still continue to pay rent to the federal government. So you can see $350 million paid during the pandemic. And it's just a percentage of our revenues year over year. And this is at a time when south of the border, when you look at our competition globally, they're building out. And that's very evident south of the border. You know, $40 billion invested by the American government into our competitors, for lack of a better word. So JFK, O'Hare, LAX, major infrastructure upgrades underway there. And of course, we look at that and we look at our competition around the world and we look at what we have to do here to compete. And so essentially, that's a good segue to the next slide, if I can move on. Give me one sec. Oh, there you go. So what we're seeing at Pearson is, you know, because of the pandemic, we're a bit behind in terms of investment. You may have experienced that, you know, either traveling in 2019 pre-pandemic or in 2022 as passenger traffic, there was a resurgence of passenger traffic. So we're bursting at the seams. And I think we've sweated our airport assets for a long time. And so we're intent on restoring aging airport infrastructure wherever possible. And that's, you know, to what end? To enhance the passenger experience. We are currently, and I think everyone around the table should be proud that Pearson is the number one airport in North America in terms of international traffic. So that's, and when we say international, that includes U.S. traffic as well. But I mean, it's a stat we should all be proud of. And it's something we want to protect going forward in terms of our direct global air connectivity. And we want to do this. It's 2023. We're going to need to, our future, our growth plans are going to need to include digital and tech forward innovation wherever possible. I mentioned some of the things that we have in place right now, but the dashboard, booking time through security. I know we're looking at, like I said, virtual wayfinding and biometrics. Atul could probably talk to you a bit more about biometrics and where we're going on that front. We've talked for a long time about better regional transit connectivity to Pearson. I'm happy to say, you know, there's some progress, particularly on the Eglinton Crosstown connection is probably the connection that's furthest along, but we're also talking about a Kitchener GO connection, Finch West LRT, some bus rapid transit connections. And of course, we'll want to do this affordably and sustainably. And so, I mean, I mentioned off the top, you know, 400 plus companies at the airport. We want to work with all our partners. You can imagine, you know, day to day who we have to work with as an airport authority to make sure the airport's operational. Everyone from airlines to ground handlers to federal agencies operational at the airport. And right now, what we're trying to do is, like I said, we're very much in a planning mode around what our terminal assets particularly have to look like to accommodate growth beyond 50 million passengers. What we're seeing is the aviation industry and the aircraft manufacturing industry forecasting a doubling of traffic over the next 20 plus years. So we have to be set to grow beyond 50 million passengers in the relative near term. And really, it's what does our terminal infrastructure have to look like to accommodate that growth? And so I mentioned many of the things that we're contemplating. And I think for folks around the table, you'll be most interested in, as we talk about growth, I think we'll want to continue to talk to the committee about what that means for business opportunities, investment opportunities in the airport. We all know the airport's an incredible jobs creator, and we'll want your input and feedback about how we build affordably and sustainably. And we started to do some stakeholder mapping, and always happy to hear what folks around the table are hearing about the airport. But we've mapped out, maybe you won't be surprised here, 150 plus stakeholder groups that the airport impacts pretty directly. So it's just, we're in the process of getting out, talking to stakeholder groups about where the airport is going, and really just starting a dialogue. So I hope that's what we would consider today is a start of a dialogue of where the airport's growing, and looking forward to your feedback, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Michael, for that comprehensive overview. And just before we go into questions, I just want to recognize that Councillor Grisanti has joined us. We also have another public guest. Ivan Batty is also in the meeting as well. So any questions for Michael?
I have a question for Michael.
Sure.
Michael, I'm looking at your slide two. You're saying currently your movements are up 14%.
Mm-hmm. Through three quarters, right, of 2023.
Yeah, I understand that. Your annual forecast was that you would have a 7% growth over the year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you were at 336,000.
I mean, I don't have these numbers handy, but I'm trusting you're looking at a source that maybe you want to reveal your source to us, but I'm happy to.
No, that's from the CDAR.
Okay, from CDAR.
Okay, that's from the CDAR, 336,800 movements was last year. So if you run 10% over the year, you're going to run probably 336 plus. So you're gonna maybe hit 400,000 movements this year.
I mean, I can't say. I think if the pandemic's taught me anything, working at an airport, it's I'm not gonna predict the future. And I know, you know, we're not in a position to disclose forward looking information because you know, for financial reasons, for disclosure reasons. So
well, you're being very cautious, and I understand that. But I'm reading your 5-year business plan from last year. It says 7% and 5%, and I'm looking at your numbers. But just to put that in a context, I like to put you in context. As you know, you've got to hit 2018. You got to hit 472,000. So okay. Yeah, so you're not there, and I'm kind of following your aircraft movements because notwithstanding your passenger growth rates,
right?
Yeah. You're I mean we by now Transport gives you the projections of people in the area that generates your passenger forecasts generally, and we know that system is broken. The forecasting system on that basis, so I'm looking at aircraft movements. Aircraft movements drive capacity limits at your airport, not passengers. I mean, notwithstanding passengers, you got to handle them in the terminal. But what limits your airport is the aircraft movements. And 15 years ago, you said you're going to hit 520,000 by 2013. You didn't do it. You still aren't at 520,000. So there's a forecasting issue going on here that I'm trying to press you guys on. So, and you saying you're really working hard, and I don't doubt that. I know well how coordinated that whole system has to be, but 472,000 is what you're able to do, and so I'm trying to just get you into context here, so that we all know when Toronto is gonna have to build its sixth runway. Now, you don't want to comment. Yeah. You don't want to comment that. You don't want to go there, and I understand that. But you guys have made an enormous amount of public statements about your rates of growth, and I just want this committee to put questions to you as to where these things are going, and I want to put that in context. So if you want to answer that, go ahead. But
I would just say, I mean, I guess I kicked off the presentation. I came back to it at the end with a commitment to keep you updated as we go along. It's not a disclosure committee where we come in, and I can't predict the future. So I think what we do, like any business, sound business, is we do our due diligence, we do modeling, we do forecasting, and we continue to do that as we go along because things change and you can't predict. As an example, no one could have predicted, I don't think anyone predicted COVID, right? So our forecasting needs to change as a result of that. So
no, I understand that.
Yeah, that's just
what I'm looking at is that line of your aircraft growth rates, which you guys have, which was sent to you, which gives you that. I'm looking at that. That's pretty much, I don't know if you can see that. That's pretty much a straight line stuff. And you're down here working your way back up. And I'm kind of wondering when you're going to get back on that line. And so I think it's great that you're doing what you're doing. I wish that your forecasts would be more specific and more accurate. And I think you should strive to do that, because your five year plans going out to your 20-year plans are problematic, and they've caused an enormous problem. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time. I promise I won't ask you any more questions.
They caused enormous
problems in Durham Region. They still think you're toasted at 2028. And they say so. And I go to meetings, and they say Toronto's full in at that point in time, and there is nothing that says that. And most of these committees come from the region. And I don't know if Mr. Gill is here today from Durham, but he needs to understand that that game has got to stop.
Mr. Batty, thank you for your comments. We'll certainly. As we're looking to the future, we'll certainly keep those in mind. And you've been an active member of the committee, so we always value your input. But would like to give a few other folks, if they have any questions.
I appreciate you do that.
You'll ask. Sorry, go ahead, Arlene.
Hi, Michael. You spoke of the infrastructure renewal aspect of your plan. I'm wondering if there are any core elements of that you could share with us, whether that is with respect to passenger handling facilities, towers, or otherwise. and nothing, the timelines and staging you might be considering?
Yeah, so nothing concrete today that I can share with you, but I, you know, like I said, I'll keep coming back to the committee as we have more to share. I think the most I can share today is we have our heads down. Stephen can tell you too. He'll probably tell you his next up. Have our heads down, very much in a planning mode. We've come through a strategic planning process. We have some core pillars, and we can see that, as I've, Mr. Batty just reminded us, forecasts suggest that that growth is upon us, that it will continue into the future, and we're trying to plan ahead for that. But I can't say today it'll be X piece of infrastructure versus Y piece of infrastructure. But I should be able to do that. I think we'll be in a better place in the new year, you know, kind of first few quarters of next year. I should be able to come back to the committee with more specificity about our plans.
Thank you. Thanks. Yep.
Thank you. Stephen.
Yeah, just thanks a lot, Michael, for, I know there's only so much you can share this time, but just two questions. One is, when it comes to a strategic planning process, what role do labor unions and labor leaders play in the process? Are they included at all, or is this completely internal to the GTAA? And second is, when it comes to infrastructure development, where does this leave us with the transit hub, and which was all the rage in 2018, yeah, 2019, but obviously fell off the cliff. And I understand there's only so much you can say, but if you can give the committee, I think, a little bit more, I think there's some really pretty good decision makers and elected decision makers here. And I think the more information they have, the better they can serve their constituents.
No, I think that's an excellent point. So on the labor and how they're involved in the strategic planning process, I mean, you, Stephen, you might, I hope you know, as well as anyone around the table. My understanding is the GTA and Unifor, who represent much of our workforce, meet on a pretty regular basis. I think it's quarterly, if not more. There's formal touch points. And then I think there are many unions operational at Pearson, and we have regular touch points. I think, Stephen, is it fair to say, is it monthly that you're meeting and provide feedback to GTA management in terms of, you know, some of whatever concerns you're hearing from your members and whatever you're looking for in terms of, hopefully you'd have input into our strategic planning process and go forward planning, you know, when we talk about any kind of renewal at the airport. In terms of transit, and so you can comment on that. And in terms of transit, we have for a long time, the committee would probably say, we talked about a regional transit center at Pearson ad nauseum. And I used to joke that I spent more time talking about trains and light rail working at an airport than I did about planes. So I think we got away from that a bit during the pandemic, obviously, because our focus was on operations and on our financial health. But I think we're still talking about a regional transit center at Pearson in a phased way. We've always said there are planned and existing regional transit lines that come in and around Pearson, but for whatever reason, stop short. So we're still looking to make those connections. And I referenced the connection that's furthest along is the Eglinton Crosstown. And I know Metrolinx is studying the airport segment and what it's going to take to get the connection from Renforth to the airport. And we're actively working with them on that and with various levels of government. And then I think when I look at the provinces, they have a long-term transportation plan where they protect it for some other connections to the airport. So I see that as a positive sign. I know Atul talks actively to the federal government and both Transport Canada, Infrastructure Canada, about what those other connections can look like, because you know, we should have better regional transit connectivity to Canada's biggest airport, second largest employment zone.
That's great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Great. Seeing none. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Atul. Thanks for the kind introduction.
It's great to have you back. Thanks. So next item on the agenda is just an update on the winter travel readiness as we're heading into the season. And I can just give you a quick overview as to some of the things that we've been doing. As you know, if you take your mind back to 2022, we had a summer which many of us would like to forget and like to move on, but we did learn a number of lessons in terms of what we could do and what we could do better. So we saw that the summer of 23, this past summer, completely different scenario. We had more passengers this year in the summer than we did in the previous year, yet we saw very little in terms of the kind of delays that we saw the previous year. And that was really a result of the fact that we were focused on ensuring that we did not see that kind of a repeat. We worked with our partners, with CBSA, with CATSA, with CBP, with NAVCAN, and kind of brought them all together along with Transport Canada, kind of say, look, how can we make sure that we have a passenger journey that is seamless this summer and one that is minimally disruptive as well? So I think we were fairly successful in that regard. Last year, we had about 1,700 hold and metering situations, and this summer we had like 13, so completely different. A lot of that resiliency was built into the system because we became more actively engaged. A number of the airlines which were coming in late and risked jamming up some of the slots, we actually pulled them aside and did what we call a hard stand. So you come down the stairs and then walk into the terminal rather than being connected to a gate. We had one budget airline which had a 2% on-time performance. And so we were very heavily supporting them and getting their passengers off the plane quickly through either a busing situation or through a hard stand in order for them to be able to turn around fairly quickly and then move on to their next flight and ensure that the gates remained open for the airlines that were arriving on time. So we took a lot of those lessons and then we rolled it up into sort of what's coming up in summer, winter of 2023, and have taken some very specific measures. So I just wanted to share those with you a little bit today as well. So what our expectation is that we'll see 6% more movements and about 10% more passengers this winter than we saw last winter. We are looking and investing in data improvements to really drive improvements across our operation. So an example of that is we have installed cameras onto the apron. So as the plane comes onto the bridge, it gets connected. We're able to see in real time, whether or not it's being refueled quickly. Is the cargo and baggage being put on fairly quickly? Is the caterer coming in on time? And that'll really give us a sense of whether or not the airplane is able to depart on time or not. And that allows us to make adjustments as needed in real time. So that kind of data is becoming even more and more important to us and to ensure the, that proper flow of traffic at the airport. We've also worked with our airport partners and we're bolstering staff for our busiest days. December 22nd is shaping up to be one of our busiest days. And so we're getting ready for that now. And these discussions have been going on for a couple of months to ensure that all of our partners are on side and working together. We're also developing contingency plans for unexpected events or expected events, if you want to put it that way. We know we'll have some of those. We know there'll be storms. So we're preparing now to ensure that we have the right amount of staff that could be called in. We brought in 200 additional staff for specifically for winter operations. We've put in more volunteers into the airport. So as people get delayed and it becomes a little bit crowded, we have additional folks who can assist and provide information to the passengers in the airport as well. We are expanding our de-icing capacity, and we've got some newly commissioned snowplows to improve our capability during a winter storm. We've also got agreements with our external partners to ensure that those plans are in place to overcome potential impact. So we want to make sure that we don't run short of plane tows. And so all that equipment is now being kept at the airport in the event that they are needed during the winter months. But that gives you a quick kind of like a review. So we're hoping that, you know, the winter season, the holiday season will be a much better traveling experience than it was in the previous year. And we've rolled in a lot of the lessons from last winter as well as last summer and what worked during the summer of 23. And, you know, we are continuing to work together. We've also established a comms protocol. It's not on the slide, but probably worth mentioning. So as events occur between us and our partners like CATSA and CBSA and others, we have an agreement on sort of like how quickly we will get back information to passengers. And, you know, we've told our partners that, you know, we'll reach out to you, find out when you're going to be informing, you know, if airlines have to give information to passengers, how quickly they will be doing that. And if they're not able to do it in a timely manner, then we will go out and sort of provide some public information or as much as we can as well. Because information is key for people who are traveling and people who are waiting for people to arrive at the airport as well to have an understanding of what's going on. So that's a quick snapshot of the upcoming season, but happy to answer any questions if there are any. Great. seeing none, I believe, Ingrid, we're on to members updates.
Yes, we are. And if you want me to call out names, we'll start with the voting members.
Sure.
Lauren Crawford from Peel Region had to leave. So, John Davidson, you are first on my list.
Thanks very much, Ingrid. I'll keep my update short. So, Halton Region is bringing forward its budget for the end of the year. We still have a couple of major reports to deal with, including our allocation program, which is going to look at the next phase of residential growth with some 73,000 units over the next number of years. So that's going forward. And at that same meeting, I believe we will have the GTAA as a delegation to Halton Regional Council on the 13th of December. So we're looking forward to hearing the GTA's news, which I think I've just got the spoiler alert today. But looking forward to that conversation. And Atul, I think we'll talk tomorrow morning. So I'll keep it short and sweet, but I'm happy to have the annual review by the GTA at our council. So looking forward to that. Thanks.
That's great. Thanks, John.
Okay, so I'm actually going to skip a couple people because Anna has to leave at 5. So Anna, any updates from the Toronto Region Board of Trade?
Good afternoon, everyone. No, nothing from me on this, on my side, at least for right now. If there is anything later on, I'll make sure to share it with Ingrid.
Perfect. Stephen Tufts, you're next up.
Yes, I'll try to be as brief as I can. Two, I think, updates to speak about. First one is that the affiliates of the International Transport Workers Federation, ITF, is actually working to try to spread a program that's really being put in place at Heathrow, which is a joint labor management effort to monitor safety through a different metric system using a company with proprietary system called Safety 365. And we're pretty excited about the potential of this method and of this system to be used across many airports that the ITF unions are present at. Heathrow management is also very keen to spread its implementation because they want a benchmark to compare themselves to. Right now, they're quite impressed with the system. They've actually seen person days lost injury go down significantly since its implementation. So I know that Heathrow's already been in contact with some members of the GTA, but the unions hope to facilitate this relationship and this serious discussion to get this system implemented, because it's proven to, early stages are, it's proven to be quite useful as well. Second update is just what's in the news recently, and that Air Transat is actually in a very serious round of bargaining with CUPE. They started bargaining in late April. They've had over 30 meetings with each other, but bargaining has been slow. And they've taken a strike vote. 99.8% of members gave a strike mandate to the union. The legal strike date for that collective bargaining agreement is January 3rd, 2024. And this is actually quite an interesting development because it's expiring just after the holidays. So that's going to create a little bit of quite a disruption if that strike happens at that time. So that's something that we'll keep, of course, the airport members on. And the issues are actually quite significant. Air Transat workers have really taken it in the teeth through a number of restructurings, contract openings to asking for cuts over the last decade, and, of course, COVID as well. And we have issues with workers taking second jobs just to make ends meet. And of course, the larger issue of flight attendants, and that is they don't get paid for anything that isn't in the air. And that's something that's trying to be rectified through collective bargaining as well. So we do hope that for the best of that outcome, but it's something that the community should be aware of.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Stephen. Next up is Councillor Crisanti. I'm not sure. Still looks here, but okay, we'll circle back to him. And Mississauga Board of Trade, so Trevor or Brent?
Brent. It's Trevor here, and just a quick update. I guess in closer to this topic of conversation, we met with WestJet at their headquarters in Calgary in October. WestJet Cargo, who have come on board as members of the Mississauga Board of Trade, so we'll look forward to working with them and increase our understanding of the challenges that they may be going through and how we can support. The other, I think Joan already mentioned, anybody that's close to municipal councils, we're in budget season right now, so we did deputize at the Mississauga Council, the City of Mississauga Council, and at the region. The region again meets on Thursday of this week to continue its deliberations on the proposed budget there. And we're also, of course, tracking the goings on and any updates to be found with regard to the transition of Peel Region into three independent municipalities. So we did meet with members of the transition board last week, shared sort of any concerns, not concerns so much as just areas of interest for the business community with regard to that process, but don't have anything concrete to share there. They're keeping things close to the vest, but we do anticipate that in the coming months, their first set of recommendations, which I understand will have to do with the assets in the region and where they go, with the tougher challenge being who pays for these various services and how that all works. So we're just keeping on that file right now, in addition to hosting cabinet ministers from each level of government. Last week, Anita Anand joined us for a dialogue with our members, and this Friday we'll host the small business minister federally, Richie Valdez. Brett, did you have anything else to add?
No, I don't. Thanks, Trevor. I think that covers the bases.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, right, Chris.
Thank you. And next, Jonathan.
Thanks, Ingrid. So I think I'm going to follow, our municipal colleagues here talking about budget. So the York Region budget was tabled in November and is being deliberated now by council. So I think there's one more deliberation session in the next week. So we'll see where that goes. Actually this week, I think. Next is the Economic Development Action Plan is being developed, also to be considered by council, but that's coming up in Q1 of 2024. So we're excited to get that going because a lot of the work that we do in our Economic Development Action Plan deals with trying to attract foreign direct investment. And the airport is a big player in economic development from that perspective, as well as other perspectives. So that's work that's ongoing. And something that has happened since the June meeting, we collaborated with the economic development team that is cooperated with Toronto Global, the city of Markham, in doing a mission to California, specifically Anaheim, for the MedTech conference and to Silicon Valley, looking at the hardware and semiconductor sectors, of course, something that's very, very important in Canada and globally. So that's a big effort we did. Also with the city of Vaughan, a mission to the Anuga Trade Conference in Germany that was focused on agriculture and agri-food. And for those who may not be aware, York Region has the fourth largest food and beverage industry in Canada. So that's something that we continue to work with our colleagues on, and that was something that we worked on in October. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Next is Marlene.
No report today.
Okay, thank you, Marlene. And Savik?
Okay. From the college perspective, I think the biggest thing, we have a very good, strong enrollment this year. We had very good placement of our graduates this year. A lot of them actually attended the GTAA event. There were some, I know you guys have to restrict the numbers, so some of the students had some challenges, but the ones that were, on the ball, got in, and some of them got jobs, obviously. And it's, I think it's very good liaising with the industry. So I'm really happy with that. Other than that, it's just, we're just plugging away. The college is doing well. I think we're now at Polytechnic. We're going to be having a industry event in February at the college. It would be nice to have the GTAA there as well. So we'll see. I'm pretty sure they'll be there, but we'll see where it goes. Other than that, it's quiet for semester's done, and we have a busy winter ahead. So that's it for me today.
Thank you, Savik. Okay, we'll circle back to Councillor Crisanti. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I do apologize. I understand. Okay. Let me get my camera on. Hi, how's everybody doing?
It's great.
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, I guess you're looking for just a bit of an update. What's
any
happening
updates? Up yes.
Well, what I'll speak to what I speak to frequently up in Etobicoke North. We have one of the largest single properties just under development, likely in the history of the city, more than 750 acres at the Woodbine Racetrack that everybody's familiar with. It's going really well. I was just at the grand opening of an additional 350,000 square feet of casino space. There's two five-star hotels that are currently under construction, and one hotel will be open very, very shortly in its entirety, by the end of this year. We have a 5,000-seat entertainment theater complex that will be open in the new year as well. There is also two residential components to this, one in the northeast end, or one in the northwest and one in the south east of that property as well. That'll bring thousands and thousands of units, housing units to, and affordable units for Toronto and surrounding area. So that's really, really exciting. When it comes to transportation, the Finch LRT, I'm told, will be up and operating by the beginning of the year. But the missing piece for the Finch LRT is that it doesn't close the gap for Etobicoke North. It's still an LRT traveling westbound that terminates currently at Humber College. And so I've always called that, the LRT to, basically just a Humber, and that's it. Unless you're a student, you're not going anywhere. I've been advocating aggressively both with the province and internally with the city and transportation and our mayor, Mayor Olivia Chow as well, to extend the LRT two more stops, one at Rexall Boulevard and one that will it will terminate at the new future GO station on the GO line at Bellfield and 27, which will finally connect Etobicoke North to the GTA, Union Station, direct to the airport. So that's a real exciting piece of news there, that it's moving along nicely. The money's been allocated for a new GO station by Woodbine Entertainment. They'll be paying for that. Metrolinx will be building it. Aside from that, that's my update there, and things are looking good. And thanks so much. I mean, other than the usual noise complaints that we get from airport noise here and there, and I'm not sure what to do about that. I've been with the GTA in the past before, and there's not a lot you could do once you realign something. We get a whole new set of phone calls from somebody else. So, but that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. So we've gone through our voting members. So now we'll start with the resource members. Amanda Chum from Transport Canada.
Hi, everyone. No substantive updates for me, but just to keep everyone aware that our work on the Southern Ontario Aviation Cities continues, but there's nothing that I can share at this point. But once there is something that I can share publicly, I will be sure to let everyone know. Other than that, nothing for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Bram Westfall.
No, thank you. So I just have a little update on some of our regional transportation planning work. Slightly outside of the Greater Golden Horseshoe region, but in southwestern Ontario, we're working to finalize the draft regional transportation plan. And so tomorrow there's a technical advisory committee meeting. And I know that SONE is going to attend, as well as the Airport Management Council of Ontario. And so I know that there's those interrelations into, London and southwestern Ontario. So I think that's the only update that I have at this time.
Thank you, Brim. Susan, welcome, first of all, and just any update.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, everyone. Sorry for being a little bit late today. I guess what I would raise to this table is one of the updates from the National Airlines Council of Canada, I guess, would be sharing one of our concerns. In July of 2023, the Government of Canada launched an air passenger protection regulation consultation. And we just wanted to flag this to this table as well. We've been flagging it to many, many tables. There are significant concerns raised during the consultation by numerous groups representing tourism, airports, airlines, unions, businesses, and others, all raising concerns that the proposed regulation changes are being overly costly, reducing regional connectivity, penalizing aviation safety, and not improving the traveler experience. And we know we've all been working collectively in order to do so. So I just wanted to flag this at this table. We all know that a healthy, sustainable aviation sector makes an enormous contribution to this country's economic and social well-being, as well as major hubs, but also at the regional and provincial economies. So we are certainly asking for everyone's support to share the concerns that we have. Please reach out to me if you have not been contacted with our
our concerns, we're certainly happy to share them with you. We've shared them with the Canadian Airports Council as well. I'll stop there. I guess the other updates and priorities for us, obviously, is sustainable aviation and sustainable aviation fuel. And then the other last one would be we're working very closely with the Canadian Airports Council and looking to work with Transport Canada for the smooth implementation of 5G from coast to coast to coast in Canada. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. And Caroline, welcome. And any updates from the Ministry of Tourism?
Hi, Ingrid. Sorry I was late and I'm going to have to jump off quick soon. I have another commitment after work today. But I think everybody knows from a tourism perspective, it's been challenging. 2023 appears to be a rebound, but what most of the business that's been experienced in this last year is a lot of compression from things that were canceled out in 21 and 22 and got moved into 23. Projections are looking like 24 is supposed to be a full-on rebound, but I think probably this table more than most of the tables I sit at understand that those numbers are not being driven by international travel in the way that we would hope that they are. They're not being driven by business travel in the way that we hope that they would be. Obviously, the concerns regarding the current economic situation and what consumer confidence looks like is scary from a travel perspective. Not a lot of people feeling really, really confident about sort of that long-term decision making on what travel looks like for them from a leisure perspective or a business perspective. From an industry perspective, hearing lots of things from operators, and again, nothing that anybody on this table probably isn't hearing as well, with regards to operating costs and inflation impacting just their ability to move forward with the same type of pricing structure and everything that they've had, knowing that everything on the expense side of the ledger has gone up. And then debt service, again, not anything anybody in this call doesn't know. Debt service is becoming a huge concern for the smaller operators and the big operators, all the operators. Have that to deal with. From a ministry perspective, I really don't have an update. We're hoping for sort of the next steps on what a strategy might look like or what a framework or our leadership. There are some changes at our higher levels. We know Destination Toronto is having a change. We know that Tourism Industry Association of Ontario is having a change at their upper levels. So there's a little bit of transition going on. We know there's some transition going on from a municipal perspective as well. Just a lot of real uncertainty. I think cautious optimism, but still a lot of uncertainty out there as to what 2024 is going to look like.
All right. Thank you, Caroline. So that's our committee members. Mr. Batty, do you have any final comments?
And you'll excuse me for this, I hope. Two areas of concern for airports: minister to appoint chair of the airport board. That is serious stuff. I would like to point out that in that document, you said Toronto Pearson filed a submission on April the 28th for Transport's consultation. And that would indicate to me that Transport relayed that concern prior to April the 28th. Your annual general meeting was May the 3rd, and there was no mention of this. And I think that's a serious oversight. And I think you need to address this issue of the minister's confidence.
Yeah, I can certainly speak to that. So there was some discussion that was going on before the introduction of Bill C-52 that it would include some potential governance changes. So we had heard that from various officials and as part of our consultations and conversations with government. And we did relay our concerns to the government, to Transport and to other government officials. And happy to report that when Bill C-52 did come out, it did not contain any provisions related to a change in the governance of airport authorities. So they heard what we had to say. We talked to them about what the potential impact could be had they proceeded down that path. And I think that resonated. One of the biggest concerns that we did have was that there was a potential credit rating impact on it. And we had spoken with some experts in the field who said, yes, you know, should the government become involved directly with the airport and change the current structure, that is was a definite possibility. So we very actively had those concerns and relayed them to the government. And as a result, we did not see that information, that kind of legislative approach in Bill C-52.
I see. Okay, that was all done with the past minister. And have you had any communications from the new minister?
Yeah, we have talked to him about it. I mean, he's got different priorities. I think it's fair to say, but you know, he's also got a number of other issues that he's dealing with, especially right now with respect to rail and ports. He hasn't come back and given us a definitive, but I think you know, his view is that some of that legislation or some of those ideas were done at a time when we were in the middle of the pandemic. We've been able to function very well over the last year, so let's not try to fix something that isn't broken.
I hope so. Okay, thank you.
All right, so that's all the updates, Atul.
Great, thanks. Ingrid, did you want to talk about the schedule for next year, or I can?
Sure. Yeah, no, I can do that. So right now, tentative meeting dates for 2024 will be the same weeks that they are now. So we're looking at Tuesday, March 19th, Tuesday, June 11th, Tuesday, September 10th, and Tuesday, December 3rd. So the next couple of weeks, you'll see those calendar invites being sent to you. All right. And the presentations from today's meeting will be up on the website, and I'm happy to forward them to you by email as well tomorrow. That's it.
That's great. Thank you, Ingrid. We'll call for a motion for adjournment unless there's any questions or comments. Okay, motion to adjourn. Jonathan, great.
Trevor will take either the motion or the second. I'll do that one.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Look forward to seeing you in 2024. If we don't get a chance to communicate between now and March, you know, have a happy holiday season, and I hope you all get some rest during the downtime and enjoy some time with your friends and loved ones.